One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, building the collective conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I am Michael Eric Owens.
And I'm your co-host, DT.
DT. Man, it's a pleasure.
Pleasure, like always.
And, you know, just kind of reflecting on our last show, you know, it was a lot of fun.
I know, especially because your daughter was in here. And you had that special little twinkle in your eye, like all parents do.
No doubt. No doubt, man. We had a tremendous time on the show, as well as a tremendous time with her and Josh here in OKC. Hmm. And now they're back in Chi-Town. So we're just, you know, we cherish moments like that.
True.
You know. But, you know, man, a lot has happened in 1 week, and we got a Facebook message from one of our listeners that wants us to talk about terrorism and the association with Islam, and I would say my word would be the perversion of Islam. Mm-hmm. On one of our shows, and we had a neat conversation that went back and forth. And so what we're trying to do, folks, is to bring on someone from the Muslim community, prominent leader here in Oklahoma City, and to talk about, you know, this difficult, challenging issue and what just happened. And you know, we don't want to go into it too much in depth today because we will next week. But what happened in Orlando?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow.
I mean, radical Islam or mental illness.
Yeah, that's all associated with it, right? Looking at the layers in which these individuals act out. The hate in today's show, I mean, we're dealing with a serious, serious, serious topic. You know, why do we hate? Why do we hate? And that's what we're going to deal with. But, I mean, it's unconscionable to think about 50 people.
Including the shooter was 50, correct?
Lost their lives, you know. And, you know, gay nightclub, you know, targeted at this point. And, you know, one thing we like to do at One Mic, One Voice is we like to get more information and research before we make an analysis on something. But on the surface, and it looks like it was a hate crime against homosexuals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, I don't even know how to put it into words, man. I mean, 50, 49, as you say, the shooter, 50 bodies.
Mm. And those 50 just expand across, you know, their families, the community impact they had, wherever they worked at. They're really strong and close relationships that were also affected by this tragedy. I think it's interesting that we often focus on the assailant or the person that, you know, done the crime, while lacking to focus on, you know, the families and how they were affected. I heard several stories of survivors, people who made it out, and were just talking about the tragedy that was that situation at the time, you know. Mm-hmm. Pretty much in those last moments of whether or not you thought you were going to live, and what that process was like, the things they heard, the things they seen, the trauma that comes along with watching people get murdered in front of your face. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of other issues that have transpired now because of this one act of quote-unquote terrorism.
We have to be so cognitive of our environment in which we are in at the present moment. We're never safe.
Yeah, and that's like a reoccurring statement we have to reinforce to ourselves, is to know that, you know, and to understand that. It's unfortunate that these situations kind of strike up more fear in us, or our unwillingness to trust the things that are going on in everyday life, But like you said,
there is no safe place.
There are no safe places. And what do we do? What's the next step for?
I mean, your home, you know, it's not a safe place. People will come in and kill you in your house. Mm-hmm. And the malls, or sporting events.
And your church.
Church. Yeah, church is not a safe place. I mean, we are in a
I'm sorry, maybe deviating a little bit, but there was a church on the northeast side of Oklahoma City that had got spray painted. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, that was right next to folks there in Oklahoma City. Allegedly, there is a beauty supply store, Mid-K, that is owned by an Asian group that there was a post on Facebook that went viral where there was a shoplifter, which was a black female, but the inscription wrote,
look at me, nigger.
Look at me, nigger. And the other one was smile for the camera. And so as you can imagine, the community is in an uproar. The store has been closed for several days. And then right next to the store is this church that DT talked about, which has, is it Coons?
Coonville.
Coonville, that was written on the side of the church. And I can tell you, racial tensions are high throughout the country. And they're high here in Oklahoma City. And sometimes all it takes is a tiny spark to set it off. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this Mid-K thing. And then we're going to get into the topic and why do we hate. So, folks, listen, hang in. We got a heavy show today, but it's okay because we got to talk about these things.
True enough,
we're in this together, all of us. We breathe the same air. We walk on the same earth. We share this planet, folks. We have to talk about this. We have to work it out. We have to make things different. That's why we're here. We will be
right
back.
What's up, guys? I am Leah Marie, owner of The Selfie Gods. Make sure you head over to our website, www.theselfiegods.com, and order your very own selfie moon. If you need that good lighting whenever you out in the club or you out hanging out with your friends and you need some more light for your selfies, that's definitely what you want to get, the selfie moon.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. So this Mid-K thing, and again, I'm one of these cats that I like to get the information before I make a determination. And we know it came from the store. We saw surveillance. I've heard rumors that it was employee there, and they said they had been hacked and this thing. You know, but this is my whole—
That's like an easy cop out these days, though, to say my account got hacked.
But this is on two fronts. I will say this, and by no means am I sitting up here because I know just because something looks like a thing is not necessarily a thing. I know life is more complicated than that. But what I will say is my concern, DT, is the fact that they didn't come out and say anything. You know, they could have came out and said, you know what, we've been hacked, okay? We love this community. This is not something we believe in. We're going to investigate this and find out who did, you know what I mean? To communicate that to the community. Nothing has been said.
You know, well, there was a response to the initial Facebook post. Somebody was like, you know, wow, really, nigga? That's what you're calling us, and we spend our money there. And somebody from Mid-K responded, not you guys. So, yeah, there are some out there, but I wasn't necessarily talking about y'all.
Yeah, yeah. So the lack of, and this is what people don't understand, the lack of the correct narrative people make up their own mind, their own story. And I know people have been protesting out there. There's a big protest scheduled for Saturday, which we're going to be celebrating Juneteenth, which is coming up. But it's just, you know, in this day and age, not to issue a statement, that's almost like business 101. You know, like you come out and you defend your establishment against hate. But
you know, like athletes, professional athletes,
oh, yeah,
need like public speaking, yeah, coaching, yeah, like, and stuff like that. It's like, I think some corporations or businesses should also take that model, because when you don't respond in the correct way in the correct amount of time, people do take it upon themselves to narrate the story on their own. You know, whether that be good or bad, you're held accountable by other people's thoughts. You know, if you don't come out and say something right away, I'm going to take that as a, you know, you really don't care.
Guilty.
You must have really done it.
Caught.
You know, these things that I can conspire on my own without you being able to have the upper hand or the ability as a professional company to say, hey, look, that wasn't us. That's not who we are, blah, blah, blah. But just like you said, that was nothing.
And you know, in addition to what you just said, which is so true, there was already from some in the community, and not just this community, but communities across the country, where you have other ethnic groups setting up businesses in black communities, and black people hardly have businesses in their own community. There is a level of content to begin with.
Right, because they've been in our communities for years now.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like now that this is coming out, now people want to get all up in arms about the language. But even behind closed doors, these people have set up in our communities. They've done business for years. We've supported them. And we've known how they felt in some instances about us.
Yeah.
And we've done nothing about it. But for them to come out and publicly put that out there, that just kind of put them on the chopping block, because now they've released it to the world about what they feel about African-American people.
And, you know, that's and if it is true, you know, their business is done. What I will say, it brings up some very interesting questions. Number one, you know, this idea, supporting a business in your community that does not invest in your community. That's interesting now. You know, if you had a business, and as much as goes on in black communities as far as festivals and entrepreneur programs and this, that, and the other thing, I'm beginning to think about, you know, folks that have businesses in communities, not just black communities, but it's a one-way relationship. They take your money, but they never reinvest back in your community. To me, that is unacceptable. That's unacceptable.
You know, but they may consider their contribution to your community as that service that they're providing. So,
no.
Mid K, for instance,
no.
Right?
No.
Mid K, for instance, is saying, look, we give you hair, we give you beauty products, we make you look good.
No.
That's our contribution to your community.
No. not at all. Not at all. If they were giving away for free, then maybe that would be a contribution, but they are making money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what communities have to do, not just the black community, but we have to hold companies accountable. And they should be investing in the community in which they're getting their livelihood from. Mm-hmm. They're making money. They're putting their kids through school, or they're buying their houses, they're buying their cars off of the money of those in that community. Mm-hmm. There should be some type of relationship, some reciprocal relationship in which something goes back in the community. I don't care if you'll give to a reading program, or, you know, give to the Juneteenth Fest, be a sponsor of that, or something needs to happen. It cannot be that one-way relationship that exists. And I can only speak, because, you know, I grew up in a black community, but it's always been I can't remember when, and I can honestly say to you, DT, there's some people that I know, some corporations I know right now that I have went to for events that are happening in the Northeast community that will not sponsor, will not get involved or help, But yet and still, they're taking money out of that community, and they're living large. Mm. I know of some right now, okay? So maybe this is a lesson for us to say, whoa, man, that got to be some. We need to call on them to be more responsible citizens and business owners in our community.
I totally agree with that. And now that you've mentioned it in that way, it kind of leads me to think that there should be a new template of how we introduce new businesses to our neighborhood. We should say, hey, look, this is the checklist. If they're bringing this, 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 they can stay. If they're not or not contributing back to the community, they have to go. Because what sense does it make for us as a community, as the people living there, thriving there, surviving there every day in and out, and not receiving any benefit from these so-called businesses that are profiting from our income?
It makes no sense. And at the base of all of this, though, gets back to our original discussion. At the base of this disdain, if it is true, this disdain for Black people is hate.
And, you know, we even see it, and we're going to get more in depth into it, but even amongst ourselves, you say support Black business. Okay, that's the answer, right? But when we see Black business established, or we even get a reference from somebody else about a Black business that's happening that we may need service from, you know, somebody else you know that's Black will be quick to tell you, like, man, look, don't go over there messing with them Black folks. You know, they don't know what they're doing. They're not professional, you know, and it's all these other things that you're up against already, aside from the society, aside from the community that you live in, is that you can't even have respect for what you do yourself because of what some people may perceive it as because of your skin color.
Man, let me say this. I mean, you're hitting on a point that, you know what, I would love to get into because, but I'm going to make some folks mad because the reality is we tear our own communities down. And just on Facebook, you know, because there is a Black-owned beauty supply right down the street. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, well, they charge too much. And one brother even said, why should I go there and pay $69 for a pair of clippers when I can go to Mid-K and get them for $39? And I said, man, I said, this is not about economics, man. It's about principle. I said, why would you go buy something for someone that has disdain for you? Hmm. I mean, are we that? Hold on a second, brother. Let me find a word here. Are we that petty of a people that we would go to someone that despises us just to save some cash? Hmm. The quickest way to get me not in your business is to disrespect me. I will never be back. Mm. Black, white, Asian, Latino, I don't care who you are. If I'm spending money in your establishment and you disrespect me or somebody I'm with, I will never be back, and I'll tell everybody I know that you disrespected me. Listen, now, should we have competitive prices? Yeah, we need to have that. OK, we need to compete with other businesses that are in our community. But to simply say they charge too much, that's the problem. We don't understand that it's not always about what about principle? Are we a people that we can stand on? Do we stand on principle, DT?
No. And I hate to say that so quickly, but, you know, you're asking me that question. So obviously, there's some space in the air and the universe that's lacking, you know, that you have not seen it before. Where I, in my life, have not seen people who are disciplined to the point where I only do this because of these reasons or that, you know, because everybody now is so easily influenced. There's a lot less room then to be able to have your own principles, to be able to stand on your own two feet. We talked about Muhammad Ali last week, being a man of principle, being a man of integrity, things that he felt strongly about, he would not go against because of his feelings, because of his beliefs. And, you know, I heard that the Asians learned that Black folks like to be smiled at. Mm. And regardless of how you feel internally about us, about how you interact with us. You know, if you give us a smile, we're going to feel good. We're going to feel like, you know, this person likes me or is in agreement that we've both benefited from the situation. And it takes more than smiles, really, you know, to be genuine, you know, to really make somebody feel like they're appreciated or that something that you're giving to them is worthwhile.
Man, hold on. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back because I want to get into this idea. And we're talking about why do we hate? I want to get in this idea of why do we hate ourselves? Folks, get your special mix and we're going to be right back.
My name is Kareem Muhammad, Executive Director of Teachers Appreciation Foundation. Join us Sunday, July 31st, 2016 at the Galardia Country Club in Oklahoma City for the Gala Fundraiser. For tickets, log on to TAF5.org. That's TAF5.org. Or you can email us at TAFteam5, that's the number 5, at gmail.com. Or you can give us a call at 405-532-3488. See you guys there.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Self-hate, man.
Yeah, man. I hope we're not deviating too much. We're talking about hate.
From the top
to the bottom, you know, it's all really relevant because it goes back to, like you said, that self-hate, that lack of principle, that lack of an understanding of who we are. To a point where we demand our respect in certain ways, that we won't do business with people who disrespect us or undermine us or make us feel less than, because that's not a true representation of humanity.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
there's a lot of deception in the things that we do every day, the things that we do to, you know, make people feel like we care, that they matter, that, you know, and all of that, you know, builds up and is an aid to the hate we feel within ourselves, about each other, and about ourselves.
Let me interject what the critics will say to us. Well, you go places and people probably don't like you anyway, and you're spending money in their establishment. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm not talking about going. I'm talking about in your neighborhood where you live, another ethnicity, another group comes in and sets up a business in your neighborhood. Okay. The primary recipient of their product, the buyers of their product, look like you. Okay. And don't like you. That's a totally different thing than me going somewhere in a furniture store in Edmond picking up something and they might not like me. That's not in my neighborhood. They haven't set up in my neighborhood. So what I'm saying to you is, folks, we have to be wiser. I'm not one of these guys to say that, you know, we need black businesses and we need quality businesses. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is within any ethnic neighborhood, if you spending money, the people that are you buying from, you should have a relationship with them. That should be that should be respect on both ends. They should be involved in the community. No longer can we sit back because we are lusting for products. Okay, let's just keep it real. I want to have the latest thing. Mm-hmm. You know, dude set up he got rims in the community now, and he got this thing for me. But I'm gonna go up in there. I'm gonna get my rims because I got to put them on my ride.
Yeah,
No. What about principle? What about saying, no, you need to have, hey, look, I got this basketball team right here, this AAU basketball team. Why don't you sponsor their uniforms for them? Okay, why don't you get involved with
this. Be helpful.
Yeah. Why don't you get involved with coaching? Or why don't you get in, if you receiving your money. But let's just flip this for a minute. I set up a business in an all-white community. Right, they coming in. This thing, I would love to be involved with that community. I would love to give something to the high school. I would love to be because I'm part of the community. Why would I want to just take their money and go do my own thing? We have to, DT, hold businesses more accountable for being good citizens in minority, black mainly communities. Folks might disagree with me. Oh, well, won't be the first time or the last time. That's why it's one mic, one voice. I got the mic.
So in fairness, let me ask you this. If you were to give me three qualities of accountability when associating new business to your community, what would be some things that you would be looking for that business to be accepted into that community?
Cultural sensitivity, number one. Okay, cultural sense. You got to know the community that you're coming into. Historically, know the community, and presently know the community. The other one would be customer service. Customer service. Treat people with respect and dignity when they come in. Okay. And the last one would be being a great corporate citizen, meaning that you are going to get involved on some level in the community. There's major corporations out there that let their employees volunteer in the schools. They go and read in the schools. I don't care. You can have three or four employees. You still can do something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you can go down there and mentor one kid or whatever, you can show some corporate
citizenship. Hold up the sign at the car wash and the kids at AutoZone on 23rd and Martha King, raising money for their football programs or for their cheerleading squad travel.
Those three things, brother.
Yeah, I agree. So you say community involvement.
Culturally.
Customer service and cultural sensitivity.
Absolutely.
You know, the sad thing about the cultural sensitivity part is that people will come into the community with a stereotype of what that demographic is without fairly having an opportunity to engage with them, to figure out who the people really are, to leave your bias at the door and to explore a new people with fresh eyes. And that's not always the case. You know, we get people who come in with the preconceived notions of what they think we are, who people said we are, the different characteristics that African-Americans and other ethnic groups have. And that's the idea when they come into our community. So, yeah, I'm going to smile at you because I know you like that. I'm going to sell it at a cheaper rate because I know you like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pretty much make it very easy for you to come and do business with me because I know you like the convenience, mm-hmm. you know. And so those are the principles of community businesses that come in and are just greedy and wanting to only fuel whatever it is that their agendas and their initiatives are.
You're so correct. And I will say that the people that I deal with, they think they understand the communities in which they're coming into. Mm-hmm. They're clueless. Mm-hmm. And what's shocking to me is that when I, as a black man, grew up in the inner city, okay, inner city, I think I know something about being black and living in the inner city. Spent years, you know, and when I try to convey something to them, They look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's the luxury of privilege, though, right?
You know, I'm like,
you don't have to associate yourself with those certain things because they're not of your culture, first of all, or just really blatantly thrown up on you without your control. Sometimes, you know, like you said, we grew up in inner city communities where, you know, there were certain influences that you just could not avoid seeing, whereas people from middle and upper class backgrounds can avoid those situations if they so please. Whereas us, you know, that's not as easily escapable. I might see a murder. I might see somebody get their purse snatched and slapped in the face. I might see one of, you know, a friend of mine or somebody get beat to the point where the cat can't get up off the floor, you know, and nobody have any sympathy for them. They laugh, and it's like, you know, these things that we deal with and that are on our mind that people who come from outside don't necessarily have the don't have to be forced into seeing those type of things.
And then, but the question will be asked, you know, so what do you suggest about such and such? And so when you share, well, I don't know if that, and I'm like, you just asked me mm-hmm. about being black in the minority community. And I just gave you the answer But you think I don't know what I'm talking about. That's the ignorance that happens when you have certain outside individuals that plant businesses in minority communities. As you say, they know the stereotypical way of looking at it. They don't understand culture. And when you try to educate them, I don't know whether they feel as if you can't teach them something or they don't want to show their ignorance. Mm-hmm. But it is so obvious to me that you don't have a clue about what you're doing.
How could you possibly be learning anything from a black person? I don't know. It's really the feeling that you get, even when you're dealing with other black people. You know, it's like, man, what do I possibly have to learn from you? I mean, and given what you just said, our background, one, is a initial kind of connection that we have, just based that we kind of walk the same walk.
Yeah.
But that idea of, you know, what can I learn from you because you're black or because I see you as this way, that's wrong, man. You know, we talked over and over again about people really not knowing who we are. And a lot of that being to do with us not knowing ourselves who we are. But to allow other people to have their own ideas without being able to definitively hold them accountable for those, without putting us in a vacuum into a box, I think that's something that we all need to work on.
And we all, and you're right, we all need to work on. While you're talking, I'm thinking in my mind that probably more black people don't listen to me than white people. you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
they tell you how talented you are, right? And how, you know what, that's another thing, because even seeing you as a quote-unquote anomaly, you know, like you being this person that's just like so rare, you know, and they come across you and it's a different experience from what they've expected black people to be or expecting a black professional person to say and to do and to act. That's their own kind of, I guess, negative embedding.
Yes,
that doesn't allow them to see you at first as a person that's respectable, as a person that's intelligent. Mm-hmm. And often we have to laugh because, you know, it's like, man, poor you, you know, like, man, poor you. You just don't know. You know, and it's like you can't do anything about it. But it's like, man, I have sympathy for you because you don't understand the bigger picture. You don't see all of the parts. You just see my skin and you see my face and you think that I'm ignorant or that I'm, you know, not capable of doing certain things. And I'm looking at you like, man, I've done everything. You know?
Exactly.
It's like.
Exactly.
You can't sweep me under the rug like that. But I have more power in knowing what I can do. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be so subjected to what other people think because I know what my skills are. And I know that given the opportunity, I shine brightly. You know, it's not that somebody else can tell me what my value is.
That's so true. Why do we hate the passing of Muhammad Ali? We talked about that. Okay, let that be one of our stakes in the ground, and then we plant another stake with Orlando and what happened. I had the privilege, I was sharing earlier with you and Richard, of being one of the speakers at the mosque for a Muhammad Ali's memorial service. Mm-hmm. And it was an honor. Anytime I can be with my Muslim brothers and sisters, it's always an honor for me to do that. And what occurred to me, I mean, in moments like that, I don't rehearse what I'm gonna say. I don't even write it down. I mean, especially when it comes to a figure like Muhammad Ali, that I was fortunate enough to see his life. And, you know, he had come to Oklahoma City twice. He came to the mosque. They have a picture. They got a picture of him signing autographs at the mosque. He prayed at the mosque, man. I was very impressed. I didn't know that.
A couple
of brothers up there met him, and it was beautiful, man. And, you know, one thing, it occurred to me at that moment, that I was standing up there about to say something, it occurred to me that during Ali's time, and in the 60s was a time of, man, that was, you know, racial turmoil and there was, you know, bigotry and hate. And And you had all these movements, right? Civil rights movement, Black Power movement, New Left movement, feminist movement. You had all these movements that were going on, and people were jumping into these different movements. What occurred to me at that moment was Ali was his own movement.
Hmm.
You know, he didn't have a chorus around him. I mean, he stood himself on principle and what he believed. That is the most difficult movement to have. Hmm. A movement of one.
Of self, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's we're talking about something deep here. A movement of the self. A movement of one. We all can galvanize and come together. Think of Mid-K, we sending out stuff and folks are going to come and we feed off one another. But when you have to feed off self, when it's only you there to encourage you, when you're looking at what the cost is, when there's only you, remarkable.
Yeah, a lot more real then, right? Because you can't escape yourself, man. You know, we have to get sleep at night. And everything that torment our mind that we know is not right, that divide us inside of ourselves, and it's got us feeling like, man, what am I about? Mm-hmm. You know, what is life about?
Yeah.
In those moments, there's nobody but you, you know, to dialogue with yourself, to have an open conversation with yourself about who you think you are and what you see life as and all these different things that make us ourselves. But you, like you said, there's a lot more influence now that takes over our ability to think independently.
Mm-hmm.
And so with all the outside influences, you know, our principles come from a lot of different areas, but they're not necessarily based on our feelings. They're just really ideas and thoughts that have been corralled around, and you know, we pick and take some of them and like, okay, now that's, you know, that's what I'm about. That now I can kind of see where I stand on this because of everybody else's perception of whatever that thing is.
Yeah. Mm. Deep, brother. That's so true. Wow. Why do we hate?
And so next we're gonna go into some reasons and some historical.
Yeah. We need to go into some. This has been leading up to our topic today, folks. I don't know, man. I guess I will forever be confused about this idea of hatred. I guess I've never wrapped my head around it. I'll never truly understand it because I'm not a dude that hates. Mm. So I see it. I know it exists. I know we have laws that were written because of hatred. I know we have laws that are still on the books because of hatred. I get it. I see it. But I don't.
Why? Yeah.
I can't understand it, brother. And so when we come back, we're just going to examine for a moment, why do we hate? We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Tiffany Hill, host of Authentic Conversations, a weekly motivational podcast where we discuss matters such as self-worth, relationships, parenting, professional development, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. You can find me on Facebook at Authentic Conversations by Tiffany Hill, on social media at @th_authentic, and you can also subscribe to Authentic Conversations on iTunes and Podbeans, and the show is also available on blackandstudios.com. I look forward to connecting with you, and remember, to live authentically is the ultimate form of happiness.
This is Josh K.
And I am Leah Marie.
And when we listen to podcasts, we always listen to
One Mic, One Voice.
You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Oh man, I'm having a blast. This is a great. This is like truth serum. You know, huh. It's all coming out in this idea of what happened in Orlando, the hatred the act of hatred, I think, is embedded in American society and American culture from the beginning. Why do we hate?
You know, from early in our time as a modern people, dating over 150,000 years ago, you know, like there's been an inklet within us to hate. You know, whether or not it's natural, that's debatable, but it is present. So you think about why people hate. You know, for instance, us even having a show, like, man, somebody will say, you know what, man, Mike don't know what he's talking about, man. I listen to One Mic, One Voice, man. I want to turn it off. Right. And, you know, the thing is really is if you hate it that much, just don't listen. Yeah, you know, right. That's a solution, right? Right? But us as humans will take it to the third degree to be able to show people to the maximum of how much we hate them. You know, we'll send Mike an email and we'll say, Mike, I really wasn't feeling your show. Man, you should just stop it, you know? Right. We'll send Mike a text message and say, hey, Mike, I heard your show today. Stop it. Right. We'll get on onemiconeonevoice.com and post a comment to say, nobody ever listened to this show. It's garbage. You know, and so, like, there are these all these different outlets that we have to hate each other, which makes it a lot easier and more convenient for people because, you know, hate is at your fingertips, really. Your ability to get on Facebook and post a comment or say something that gets somebody riled up or, you know, blatantly that you're disrespecting them is a form of hate, you know, and just the accessibility to it now is a reason why we do it. Not that we mean anything by it. Somebody you've been knowing for years, you know, could get on your Facebook and say, I don't agree with this, and this is why, and you're stupid, and I don't agree with that, and blah, blah, blah. But when you see him in person, it's like, oh, hey, Mike, man, I ain't talked to you in years, man. You know?
What's up, bro?
And to me, there's a fakeness to hate because we don't understand enough. And without that understanding, there's all types of things that could go on in our mind that help us make the decision without having the facts. So my ability to hate is the only reason I exercise it. Is the only reason I have a need for it is just because I can. Not because I really have anything against you or not that really what I feel that I view is so on point that I have to now challenge you with it. It's just that I can hate you, man, and you know what? Mike, I don't like you.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I think it's definitely a lack of knowledge or information when you think about it. A child grows up and is taught to hate a certain race of people. Never met the race of people. The idea of hatred is planted within the psyche. Mm. And then it is given full birth by the media. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I'm told that you're bad, right?
I've seen that you're bad.
I see it on TV. I see it in movies. I see it in my video games. You know, you're the bad guy. So now it's growing in me. And now all of a sudden, I hate you or despise you, and I never even met you. You see, does that make sense?
It's a convenience.
I mean, but
because it really help you or help people not to really deal with themselves. And what I mean is, if I can look at you and say, you know what, man, Michael Eric Owens is a successful person, community leader, has all these great things going for himself, and having to compare that to the disparity in my life, to the insecurity in my life, to the hurt in my life, I can't respect Mike because I'm still dealing with all of that and still having to see him as this person that's going up. So if I don't have the respect for myself that I can do things, that I could be Mike if I wanted to exceed Mike if I wanted to, but taking your success as something negative towards me, then I'm already lost because I don't focus on myself. I just see Mike as somebody in a position that I would like to be in, and so I have reason now to hate him because he didn't necessarily have to deal with all the daily struggles and hurts and fears that I have within myself.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, hate is an emotion, right?
Very strong one, too. Yeah, you know, they say there's a thin line between love and hate.
Love and hate.
And I think there is a truth to that. Because you think about what happened in the instance with the Florida mass shooting.
Mm-hmm.
That man had drawn on so much emotion within himself, you know, to hate this group of people to the point that something was in his mind saying, you know, well, you need to do something about this.
Yeah.
You need to take those people out. You need to eradicate homosexuality in the way that you can without taking into account the humanitarian side of it and thinking about human life as something bigger than what you think is a mark against you or what you believe. I mean, honestly, like, what does somebody else... I mean, it does have an effect on us all, but literally, what does someone else's opinion of love or idea of love or companionship have anything to do with my life, seriously? You know, like,
zero. Zero. I mean, choose who you want to love. Do what you want to do. That's called free will. That's called your choice.
Hmm.
And if you believe in God, God gave you free will to choose. How can I sit back and make your choices for you or determine what your choices may be or to judge whether your choices are right or wrong? I need to do that for myself.
Because when I think about myself being in love, you know, I don't think about homosexual relationships. I don't think about how maybe if I'm out with my woman and we see another couple, how that may, like, it's nothing.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, man, let's go to dinner. Let's have a good time. Let's enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
Those people are enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
Why do we waste our time trying to think about negatively how these people are living? They have to deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, our society, where there's hate, there's racial hate, there's gender hate, you know, there is sexual
hate,
economic hate. I mean, all of it, there is this motivation, like you say, for the lack of what I might have as an individual, my own insecurities, my own fears, and they are projected in a way that is unhealthy. They're projected in a way of hate, of isolation. You know, they are projected outwardly when they should be projected inwardly in a way that I can heal myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you hate, you have a disease. Hatred is a disease. It is a disease, man. It's like cancer. It's like anything out there. It is eating our society up. It is taking people to their grave. Hatred is an enemy. It's an enemy of us all. How dare you hate anyone? Don't get me wrong. Some people have done some bad things to me, and yeah, is there some dislike? Yeah, there's some dislike there. But I don't want to see nothing happen to them. I don't want to see them murdered and killed. That's not how I operate. That ain't in me, okay? Now, if you mess with my family, you might wind up in one of those predicaments. Now, we might say that. But besides for that, you know what I mean? I don't want to see nothing wrong happen to anyone on this planet. I don't care who you are, okay? That's just not in me. That disease needs to be addressed and cured. And listen, DT, we can take away every gun in the world. It's not going to take away hatred. We can equal the playing field. We can give everybody the same job, making the same money. Not going to take away hatred.
Mm-mm.
Okay? We can give everybody the same house, clean up everybody's neighborhood. It's not going to take away hatred. Hatred exists on the local level, the state level, the national level, the international level. We are a world that hates. I mean, think about that for a minute, brother. We should be a world that loves and uplifts and unifies. And what's the difference? What is the difference, brother, between somebody in Afghanistan, right? Or somebody in the Middle East somewhere, pick a country, or somebody on the continent, than you and me sitting here in Oklahoma. We human.
At the end of it all, right?
We born from a woman. What is the difference, man? But we sit back and we go, we're in the United States, the best country God's ever created. We're manifest destiny. Man, go somewhere with that.
Yeah, because you think about this, man, born in the United States, right? Because we'll say, to solve this problem, we need to go over there and bomb the hell out of the Iraqis and Islam and Iran and all these people, right? When this man was born here in America, yeah. And we're talking about fighting ISIS.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that's going on overseas in another country. They're formulating their ideas and plots there, maybe even here. But we're talking about an American citizen who committed this type of crime. But then we'll take our action against it overseas to deal with, to show them, you know, how fierce the United States can be when stuff like this happens to us.
Okay, let me say this to you, brother. Check this out. Let me tell you how, and I'm going to use this word in the vernacular, how whack this is. Donald Trump says we need, this is another reason why, because he had Afghani parents that immigrated.
Who?
The
Donald Trump?
No, not Donald Trump. No, the shooter. Okay, we're not going to even say his name on this show, but we're going to bring his name up next show. But the shooter had, his parents were from Afghanistan. That's another reason why we need to ban any country that has been known for any act of terrorism. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dylann Roof. Okay. Let's ban all white people from coming into America. Now, if a black man got up and made that same analogy, what will happen? Timothy McVeigh, what is his nationality? Let's go back. Some of these are Irish. Some of these are Italian. Let's ban all Italian people. Let's ban all Irish people, Polish people. What will happen to the black man that stands up and says that?
Will it be royal seed? You know what? It's funny, though, that you bring up Timothy McVeigh, because we're talking about guns, and obviously the reaction from most people was like, man, you know what? This cat had an AK-47. We need to abolish all gun buying, you know, or
with the, you know, AR-15.
AR-15, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he used an AR-15, and obviously he's not the only person with an AR-15 that shouldn't have an AR-15. But as a result of this tragedy, we have to bring that to light now because it's public, you know, but not that privately. I mean, I'm sure there's thousands of people who own guns that they're not supposed to have, you know. Mm-hmm. But going back to the Timothy McVeigh reference you just made, is that you don't need a gun to be violent.
Absolutely.
Timothy McVeigh did it with a bomb. You know, when you get very desperate, you don't have resources like being able to buy a gun or pass a background check or these type of things that are necessary to buy a gun, you go to the internet and see how to make a bomb.
Absolutely.
Or you go to these other resources that you have that still inflict the same amount of hurt and the same amount of pain on people without necessarily having to use a gun to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is making gun laws the answer? Is taking the information off the internet the answer? Like, you know, there are a lot of things that we're fighting uphill against.
Yeah.
And we want to make these little distinctions and make these very small projected ideas without having all the information or without looking at the whole thing within itself.
Let me say this, DT. You are so correct. Who's ever bent on doing massive damage to anyone will
do it.
Will get it done.
Because what we say, there's no safe places. You know, there are no safe situations. And at any time, we're vulnerable.
And you cannot. We can take away every gun again. On the planet, you're not going to take away hate. Our efforts and our conversation is in the wrong place. Now, I know people going to argue with me. My neighbor, man, one of my neighbors, man, a great guy, love him, man. We go down there, we shoot AR-15s, man. I can show you a picture with me standing with one. I mean, when Josh and Leah shot an AR-15. I mean, he's a great guy. He just uses it. He got a nice shooting range. He's not out here trying to kill anybody. It's not the gun. it's the individual. Well, can you kill more people with an AR-15? Yeah, you can. I'm not going to argue that. Should we have some sort of regulation? Yes, we should have comprehensive gun regulation. He would agree with that. I own guns. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, folks, the problem is much deeper than that. The problem lies within the psyche of our culture, and it's called hate. We will be right back.
This is Elijah Bailey.
This is Richard Taplin
from the Elijah Bailey Show, bringing you all the content that you could ever desire about anime, manga, comic books, martial arts, fitness, and more.
You can find us at Elijah Bailey Show on the official Facebook page, and also Elijah Bailey Show without the W on Twitter and Instagram.
Make sure to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and rate on iTunes and Podbean.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice Show. We about to wind this thing on down.
Wind it down. Man, it's been a heavy conversation.
Yeah, I'm liking here, man. Like, Richard, I don't know. You might need to fan me off or something, man. It's hot.
But
it's
somebody heavy. Has to do it. Somebody has to do it.
But, man, we are in a crisis.
We are. You know, it's very interesting, man, being able to just kind of reflect back on some of our past shows, some of the things that we've talked about, and coming to the consensus that, you know, there's always tragedy happening. There's always something negative to be discussed or put on the forefront, or that we've had to deal with in some way, whether directly or indirectly. And that kind of being the reoccurring platform for most of conversation that happens amongst Americans today.
Yeah.
We get really energized and behind causes and behind, you know, really big emotional things that happen in our society that cause us to react in angry ways and aggressive ways, or, you know, whatever that case may be. But is this the pattern of our life? Mm-hmm. Is hatred, is anger, is deception a part of humanity?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, it truly is from the beginning. I think you mentioned earlier, Cain and Abel, from the beginning of time, there has been this need, this almost this self-centered way of looking at life, from the individual to the group to the society. We go from the individual needing to be better to the group needing to be better to the society or the country needing to be better. There's where's the equality? Where is the sharing of not only wealth, but value and dignity? And no, we battle with that each and every day in our society. This is what we call life. And anyone that's walking around here saying, well, let me back up for a minute, because there's some people that don't have to deal with maybe some of these realities. They may see it on the TV, but they live such privileged lives. And I'm not mad at them. They live such privileged lives that they don't have to deal with some of these things. But I don't care how much money you have, where you live, you still deal with insecurities. Mm-hmm. You still fight back your anger that bridges on hate because you've been hurt before in your life. We all deal with these issues. And somehow, DT, you know, our goal has been to not only start the conversation, but to continue the conversation and to let this conversation make a difference in someone's life. I don't care if it's one person that looks in the mirror and goes, you know what? I got to deal with this anger. I got to deal with this hate. I got to deal with, if you know somebody out there that's angry and hateful and saying crazy, report them. We can't live in a society where people are cut down like weeds. It's unacceptable. We need to do better. Black, white, Latino, Asian, don't matter. Whatever you are, you're part of the human race. We need to do better. Unacceptable what happened in Orlando.
Man, you know, in
South Carolina, unacceptable.
In Italy, you know, back then there was a term coined that addresses hatred.
Sandy Hook, unacceptable.
To the point where it's eternal. Mm. they call it the vendetta. And that means that as long as it takes, as much as it takes, mm-hmm. we're going to hate you to the most extent. We're going to exploit you to the most extent. We're trying to eradicate you to the most extent.
Newtown, unacceptable.
And so with that mind frame, people who still today live in that mind frame, that whatever it takes, we have to hate this certain group of people. They will not advance over us. We can't allow them to enjoy the natural resources of the land, of the world, to explore, to create. What do we say to that mind state of a person that is eternally dedicated to hatred and vengefulness?
I mean, if you stuck around that which reinforces that warped belief, nothing's going to change. Mm-hmm. Only through an experience with those outside of that circle can a divine revelation. only through that, man. I mean, these are the products of our world.
It's deeply rooted, though, man.
It is deeply rooted. And we need to, as a society, those of us who can change, those of us who are open to really embracing, you know, the impact of hatred, the impact of being left out and ostracized and being put down and devalued. Those of us that are willing to stand up and fight and make a difference, now is, there's no better time than now. There is no better time than now, because history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can be the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.